This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Oh, yeah. When you see me smiling, you know things have gotten worse. Any smile you might see.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box and the all-new 590 The Fan. How about Jason Tatum last night? 8 of 17. He had 24 points for the Celtics, who beat the Kings. And the Celtics, of course, were without Kyrie Irving. I think they're 7-0 in their last seven games without Kyrie.
That's one of my favorite NBA stats, because I don't know who those seven games are against. I know last night was Sacramento, an okay team. I don't know who the other six were, if they're against like really bad teams or what. But yeah. Piggybacking off how well they play without Kyrie last year after he was hurt and into the postseason is one of my favorite NBA stats.
How are you a better team without one of the most talented players
exactly.
in the league? Yeah.
Like, they acquired him thinking they'd be better with him.
I will say this too, Brian, about Sacramento. They are a team on the come. I'm not saying it's a big three, but this, you know, this Fox, Darian Fox, is unbelievable. Buddy Hield is a great shooter. And then Willie Cauley-Stein, he had 19 last night, is a nice defender. He's kind of like Noah was earlier in his career, more of a defender, shot blocker, but he's a good player too. So they're a fun team to watch. How did Tatum do the night before? The night before, Boston beat Golden State. Yeah, I saw that on the highlights. But, you know, you hear a lot of things about Tatum not being quite as good this year as last year.
He was 6 of 13 shooting.
That's good.
My question is,
what did he end up with?
He ended up with 17 points.
We'll take that.
5 rebounds, 3 steals and assist. I'd like to know where those 17 shots last night and where those 13 shots the night before were taken, because he's had a weird tendency to take really bad, ugly-looking mid-range jumpers at times this year. And people, they connect it with his work with Kobe Bryant. They call it Kobe Brain.
Yeah. Kobe has made him regress a little bit, but he's still having a good year.
Yes.
I mean, what is he averaging for the season? About 16?
16. But his shooting percentage, both on twos and threes, is down this year.
And what is he shooting two and three this year?
453 this year, down from 475 last year. 37% from three this year, down from 43% last year.
Last year was one of the greatest three-point shooting seasons in NBA history for a rookie. So that is it is baffling.
Yeah, and because the thing is, the scoring is up, but so is the shooting. Like, he's shooting three more shots per game than he was last year and only averaging about 2.5 points per game more.
Now, I will say this. Part of the reason for their kind of regressing as a team is the Gordon Hayward situation in terms of playing time. You know, I read this once about that situation, and I think it's kind of fascinating. You know how if there's a coach and he's the father and the kid ends up playing shortstop and batting third, or pitching and batting third, or point guard and always getting all the shots? A lot of people attributed that to the Brad Stevens-Gordon Hayward thing, in that, you know, Brad has such an affection for Hayward, who took him to back-to-backs. And he just didn't merit the playing time and the shots he was getting. But because of Brad's affection for him, he was. And that kind of disrupted things. But then you also read, and I read a lot of Celtic blogs and stuff, is that Hayward is killing them in practice and really doing well. It's just not translating to the games. Now, last night he hit the big shot, you know, for Boston to win the game late. And he was efficient, 6 of 10. But let's face it, when you have that type of injury, you're not going to be 100% a year later. I mean, it took Paul George a couple of years. So it is wild. And I do like that nucleus last night. They just seem to, you know, the Tatum, Morris, Horford, Rozier, Smart combo. That's the one that took them almost to the NBA Finals last year. Hmm. All right, Brian, let's read a couple of texts. If you have that.
The Blues rally was only 3 seconds short of Pitino's performance. Do you think Tremaine, Isabel, now all... Why do you think Tremaine, Isabel, rather, now all of a sudden is scoring the way he has been the last couple of games?
A little bit like with Hayward, it takes a little time when you're with a new team. I think that's part of it. And then, you know, the fact that They were down to like five players. He knew he wasn't going to come out of the game, even if he played poorly. So that gives him, hey, look, I'm staying in this game. I don't have to worry about missing shots. I'm a good shooter. I've been a good offensive player. I think that's a combination of those two. All right. What else there?
Hulk Hogan's fanny pack was late to the show, but went to SLU games this year and was impressed by Isabel's skills. Even if he is occasionally a ball hog and gets himself in trouble sometimes, does he have an opportunity to play pro in Europe?
Yeah. Oh, I think Tremaine Isabel is going to be a professional player if he wants to for the next, you know, 10 years. And I think the same thing with Javon Best. I know there's talk about Javon, and yesterday Travis Ford said he is going to get into an NBA camp. I don't know if Javon is explosive enough to play in that league. He's a good player and a great kid and a good defender. You know, there, stranger things have happened. I mean, Damari Carroll, and it's not the exact same situation, has had a long career in the NBA, and a lot of people thought, wait a minute. Now, I think Carroll's a little bit better, but yeah, I think Javon's, they're both going to make a living playing basketball for a long time if they want to. Let's see.
You want to do a little five for Frank?
Yeah, let's do it.
To tee up the hot topics, it's Five for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
Frank, between now and the end of the regular season, what combo of two teams are you going to be more focused on for scoreboard watching? The combination of Nashville and Winnipeg or Dallas and Minnesota? Two teams in front, two teams right behind.
I'll go in Nashville-Winnipeg, and it's amazing what 12 seconds does for that answer right there. But yeah, I'm trending up on the Blues.
All right. A lot needs to happen, including a win over the weekend. But does SLU get a top four seed in the Atlantic 10 tournament next week?
I do, because I think they're going to go to St. Bonaventure and win that game after that, you know, galvanizing win last night. I got a good feel that they'll go up to New York and win a game, finish in the top four. That does change everything, too. That makes it a lot easier for a team lacking in depth.
All right, big talking point last couple of days. We've been kind of comparing what stats you feel Jack Flaherty and Miles Michaelis will compile over the course of the 2019 season. So assuming those guys are 1-2 in whatever order you want, in innings and in wins in 2019, Frank, who finishes third in the rotation?
Okay, that's just really good, because you don't have a great deal of confidence in Carlos. You don't have a great deal of confidence in Waino. And you're starting to wonder, well, Waka's
And you don't know
good.
Who's five, yeah. And Waka still has that.
You don't
that.
Know who's six, right?
Right.
Yeah, well, I guess
or even
right.
five, you don't know.
Carlos, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go Waka with Reyes close behind, and then Waino fifth.
Okay.
That's a really good question. Who's third? Because it looks like 1 and 2 are secretary to the Belmont, yeah.
Right, and you would hope in a good way that they're just that much better this year than they were last year. Five for Frank, Greenville University. Frank, give me Paul DeJong's slash line. Or if you want, homers and RBIs for next year.
Paul DeJong will go 25-80 with a 340. No, he doesn't. Let's go 325 on base.
Okay, I could buy that.
And then an 800 OPS.
And you would hope very good defense, because that's a cat area he did improve in last year.
Yeah. Well, what do you think on OBP, 325?
I think I'd take that. I would for him. He was 313 last year. And I guess, and I need to look this up real quick. I looked this up yesterday just out of curiosity. His April last year was outstanding. His April was, at the end, he was batting .275 with a .327 on base and a .539 slugging. That's an .866 OPS. Wow. He hit 7 home runs in the month of April. From May on, and this includes a broken wrist that did seem to sap some power away from him, Paul DeJong was a .231 hitter, a .309 on base, a .401 slugging. So that's a .710 OPS. With 12 home runs. So you saw two different Pauls last year.
Yeah.
One's really dynamic and one's just kind of meh.
And can I say this? I don't know, even if the doctors say, okay, you could go out and play, you break your wrist, you're not the same the rest of the year.
There always seems to be that. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Like,
even DeRosa, remember him when he broke his, when he injured his hand or got hit?
Oh, that's right.
Here, and he was never the same after that.
Now, let me ask you this. Did the defensive run save stat that DeJong really flourished in last year, are you buying into that, that makes him an elite or potentially elite defensive shortstop?
I'm not sure elite, but I'm not sure he has to be. I think he just needs to kind of split that side of the infield with Carpenter. And if Wong is healthy and playing every day, then you're pretty well solidified there.
But I mean, do you believe that he could be a very good defensive shortstop?
Yeah, I think very good. I don't think elite. I don't think he's going to be, like, say, Francisco Lindor or Correa at short, but he'll be good. And I think that's all you really need. All right, final one, five for Frank. Frank, it's National Cereal Day. Now, adult cereal is boring and stupid, but what was your favorite cereal as a kid?
I think we should all answer this one. Plows, you get in. Without a doubt for me, Captain Crunch. Not the healthiest, but absolutely the tastiest. And I could still have some of that today, although Monique will not allow me to buy
That's the thing. When you're an adult, you can't eat the fun cereal anymore. You have to eat all the boring stuff with no sugar.
Plowsy?
Fruit Loops.
Really?
Fruit Loops or Kix, either one.
Both strong.
Oh, both very strong.
Yeah. Brian?
I have no idea this is made anymore, but I was a fan of Waffle Crisp as a kid. It was a post cereal.
They do make it.
Do they? Okay.
Yes.
I do not want to look at the nutritional content of that because I'm sure it was deeply unhealthy in every imaginable way, but that was a personal favorite cereal of mine growing up.
Did Kurt Warner have his own cereal?
Yes, he did. Let me see if I can look that up real quick. Wasn't it like Warner Flakes or something like that?
Yeah. But that was kind of a popular, trendy thing.
It was called Warner's Crunch Time. Yeah, he did. It was Frosted Corn Flakes.
Right. And which is also a solid.
Yes, yes.
Speaking of solid, Dr. Michael Jones is as consistent and solid and as spectacular as you can possibly be. He's with Quantum Vision Centers, 866-260-EYES. Dr. Jones is a longtime friend of the show. He practices complete eye care in the metro area. He's with Quantum, and he just does a great job. What I recommend is a phone call to Dr. Michael Jones at 866-260-EYES, and you tell him that we sent you there, and he will set you up, and he will get those eyes fixed, and you'll have great eyes for the rest of your life. Dr. Michael Jones, Quantum Vision Centers.
Flutie Flakes, that's what it was. It wasn't Warner's Flakes, it was Flutie Flakes. That was another popular athlete cereal I remember in the 90s.
And remember, were you guys old enough to remember the great, all the Wheaties boxes?
Yes.
When you were famous? Mary Lou Retton, Bruce, Caitlyn Jenner?
Oh, yeah. Here you go. Here are some of the athlete cereals, in case you're curious. There's a Flutie Flakes. There was a cereal called Vados, which was a Joey Votto cereal.
Who's not the most warm, outgoing, advertising kind of guy.
Here's Joey Votto promoting it, saying, "It's basically Cheerios."
Is that what he said?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I love Joey Votto. There's Justin Verlander's Fastball Flakes that sold in Detroit. Chad Johnson had Ocho Cincos, which was also basically Cheerios, or Honey Nut Toasted Oats, or Honey Nut Cheerios. David Eckstein, I guess, here in 2005, had his own brand of cereal called Echoes. Tommy Maddox had Tommy Gun Flakes.
Tommy Maddox, a backup quarterback in the NFL, had his own cereal?
Yes. Well, he went 10-5-1, led the Steelers to the playoffs. Then was bad and was replaced by Ben Roethlisberger immediately after. Terrell Owens in Buffalo had Tio's, which was Honey Nut Toasted Oats, so Honey Nut Cheerios. Warner's Crunch Time. Buckeye Heroes, which featured the 2006 Ohio State Buckeyes. And finally, Ed's End Zone. Ed McCaffrey had his own cereal.
Another just kind of a fine wide receiver, but
not
a star.
Not star.
How about Oshie's O's?
Oh, Oshie's. I forgot about that.
Well, that would have been popular. That would have been popular. Oh, my goodness. We're getting so
many. No, there was a cereal called Oshie's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch, by the way, getting some votes for
that's
best
a good one.
Ever.
Yeah.
Any of you remember Marshall Falk Flakes? Is that true?
Let me see. Falk Flakes
cereal? Is
that
a joke?
No, that was a cereal. I'm looking at a box right now.
Okay.
How about that?
Captain Crunch, Courtney D. We agree on a lot of things. All right, let's see. Look at McGuire's career slash line, Brian. Remember when people said all he did was hit home runs and that he wasn't good enough to be in the Hall of Fame, assuming steroids matter? Career slash line.
263 average, 394 on base.
394 on base.
And a 588 slugging. I've always believed that people who say all he did was hit home runs and use that as their justification to not vote for him for the Hall of Fame, that was a cop-out answer because he didn't want to take a stance on PEDs.
Yeah.
So they look for another reason why they shouldn't vote him in. Because he was a Hall of Famer when he retired. And then everything since then, how public opinion switched on PEDs, then he wasn't. And that's the difference. It wasn't – when he hit 500, you were thinking Hall of Famer. When he hit 70, you were thinking Hall of Famer.
Yeah. For instance, like when I think of like a really good pure hitter, I think of somebody – well, let's just do this.
Tony Gwynn.
Yeah, but that would be a bad example because it won't help my argument here.
Okay.
Yeah,
sorry. Somebody,
Sports Talk Radio, Plazzi. Yeah.
Steve Garvey was regarded as a really good hitter. Now, look at his on-base percentage compared to Mark McGuire's.
329 on-base percentage.
Only a 70-point difference.
Garvey.
All right, how about Ted Simmons, a great pure hitter here in St. Louis? What was his career on base?
This is a good one because if we're wrong, we still like Ted. So
yes.
This adds into our justification to get him in the Hall, but he is lower at 347.
50 points higher than Ted Simmons' career on base. What is Matt Carpenter's, by the way?
Ooh.
Which should be very good.
Yes. Matt Carpenter's career is 377.
Who would have thought that Mark McGuire got on base at a significantly higher percentage than Chris
Don Mattingly, 358, another guy who was highly regarded as a pure hitter.
Jeez. I wonder how many first base. Oh, give me Lou Gehrig's just for the heck of it. I bet that's got to be higher.
Lou Gehrig checks in at, he's.
What is he at?
Well, he's a Hall of Famer. 447.
Wow. All right, now, just for our audience to hear this, let's hear Ted Williams's.
This will probably be higher, too.
This may be the highest.
Ted checks in at, this is the highest in baseball history, 482. That's not bad.
Can you imagine? Half the time you come to the plate, you're going to end up at first base, basically.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, somebody said to check this out, Brian, because people try to compare him once in a while to a one-trick pony like Dave Kingman. I bet Kingman's OBP was terrible.
Dave Kingman had a really bad on base, 302. That's a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
236 average, 302 on base, three times as many strikeouts as walks.
Wow.
That's pretty bad. Yeah. McGuire, meanwhile, struck out 1,596 times, walked 1,317 times.
And did McGuire win one gold glove?
Yes, he did in 1990. Now, gold glove isn't always the best barometer for that.
I think it's going to be fascinating about 10 years from now after, say, Bonds and Clemens get in, if the Veterans Committee would consider McGuire. Because if you do that, by the way, you may have to consider Rafael Palmeiro with 3,000 hits and 500
runs. Right, unless they draw a line at testing positive, which they might.
Oh, that's true.
Maybe that's the line of demarcation once they finally settle things down and try to make a decision as to what this means, as opposed to saying it's a voter by voter basis.
And we will say this: is McGuire openly admitted it?
Yes, he did.
And Clemens and Bonds really haven't.
Is he officially out of baseball, McGuire? Because he was with San Diego, didn't he? Leave the Padres?
Yes, he did.
I think he might be officially done coaching for the time being. Yeah, he left after the 2018 season. I wonder if he tries to get back in one day.
How about Rafael Palmeiro sitting there with 1,600 runs, 3,020 hits, 569 home runs, and a career OPS of nearly 900? Jeez.
And he's someone I know has had some tough times after his playing career.
Okay, so
he lost a lot of money in real estate, I remember, during that 08 crash.
And remember, he was realistically trying to come back
last year.
It didn't work out.
Did not.
Tell me about the money thing.
I remember, and it might have been a Fox Sports article, which means it might have gone away because they no longer like to write things. But
it is 2016. He put down $53 million of his own money.
Nope, don't do that. Bad idea.
Wow.
bad.
Oh.
A lot of money.
All right. We will take a short time out. We're going to tell you about a great charity when we come back.